Nummern kann. Case 39. A monk said to Unman, "The radiance serenely illuminates the whole universe." Before he had finished the line, Unman interrupted him and asked, "Aren't those the words of Chosetsu?" The monk said, "Yes, they are." Unman said, "You have misspoken." Later, Shishin Zenji took up this matter and asked, "Tell me, where did the monk misspeak?" Unman's comment: if you can see the uncompromising and rigorous operation of Unman's method and how the monk misspoke, then you qualify as teacher of people and devas. If it is not yet clear, then you cannot save even yourself. Unman's poem: a line is cast in the waters, the greedy will be caught. If your mouth opens just a bit, your life is completely lost. Unman Bunen Zenji appears many times in the Mumon Kan and elsewhere in our koan study. He is one of perhaps three or four of the most eminent teachers of the Tang period. I have in the past told many times the story of how he was a student of Seppo. Was it Seppo? Yes, Seppo. But he was enlightened by Bokushu, elder brother in the Dharma of Rinzai, who very kindly slammed a gate on his leg. Each of the greatest teachers is remembered for a particular method. Rinzai for his cards, Toksan for his stick, Joshu for his succinct words, and so on. Unman is remembered especially for his capacity to teach according to the need of the student, according to the terms of the exchange, and according to the circumstances about. He realized and practiced the ideal of all Zen teachers. Here a monk begins a quotation from the government official Chosetsu Shusai, a prominent lay student of Zen in earlier times. His enlightenment poem, rendered here from Shibayama Roshi's translation, runs as follows: the radiance serenely illuminates the whole universe. Ignorant, wise, and all beings are in my abode. When no thought rises, the whole is revealed. If the six sense organs move even a little, it is obstructed by clouds. If you cut off your ignorance, your ailment will increase. If you look for the truth, you are wrong. Living in accordance with worldly affairs, you have no obstructions. Nirvana and life and death are like colors in a dream. The monk was probably going to ask Unmon a question about this poem, or maybe to comment on it. If Unmon had waited for the question or the comment, the dialogue would have been very different. The monk from his side would have been in control of the exchange to some degree, and perhaps would have retained the point of view from which he was about to ask his question or make his comment. Please be alert to this kind of relationship in Doksan and in your everyday life conversations. Are you holding fast to a point of view, or are you simply presenting a point while your feet are on the floor, or your bottom is securely resting on the mat? There's an interesting case in the Hekigan Roku I recently went through with one of the students here. Sancho asked Seppo, "When the golden scales passes through the net, I wonder, what should he eat?" When the great dragon fish has passed through the ultimate gate, how are you going to treat him? Seppo says, "I will wait until you pass through that net, and then I'll tell you." Seppo did not get pushed even a bit by Sancho's great confident statement. Sometimes people adopt a rather arrogant and superior manner in taking control. And will reply to an angry accusation. "I can see that you are very angry." That might be appropriate, but it might be an an unfair kind of diversion. That anger might be altogether appropriate. Whatever, the important thing is not to be blown about, not to cling to bushes and grasses of concepts and attitudes and aspirations, but to stand on your own feet, give and take in terms of what is being said. Here, Unmon gives us a chance to observe this process. He diverted the stream of the monk's question, and avoided maybe a comment about Chosetsu's poem. Aren't those the words of Chosetsu? The monk wanted to show where he himself stood in relation to Chosetsu's words. Unmon interrupted him and asked him, whose words are those? Well, it's clear that we as Zen students must have done with fusty old books that only perpetuate stale attitudes. Yet here we are discussing a case from the 11th century, written up in the 13th century. I hope, and you hope, that we can grow personally in the process, but the process itself must be correct. If it is not, then we are abstract and we misspeak, misthink, and misact. When I tell the story, quoting Unmon, aren't those the words of Chosetsu? You may stop me and ask, aren't those the words of Unmon? I could say yes, and what would be wrong with that? In the Hekiganroku, we find four cases devoted to Joshu quoting from the Shinjinmei of Sōsan, the third ancestor, attributed to Sōsan. The true way has no difficulties. It simply dislikes choosing. It is clear that Joshu was very fond of this couplet and was always quoting it to his students. What if one of them had asked him, aren't those the words of Sōsan? What would he reply? If we look at our own culture, speak the speech, I pray you, as I pronounce it to you, drippingly on the tongue. Aren't those the words of Shakespeare? Aren't those the words of Hamlet, Prince of Denmark? You might say, or at least I in my generation might say, aren't those the words of Maurice Evans? But why should Unmon make such an issue of all this? Surely he is not demanding that the monk follow the rules and refrain from reading. I don't think that there were any such rules anyway. You can trust Unmon to be making an issue of something important. when the monk innocently affirms that those were indeed the words of Chosetsu, Manmohan says, "You have misspoken." That is the end of the dialogue, but it reverberated on, probably in the mind of that monk, but also in the halls of other monasteries and in the minds of other Zen students. Much later, Shishin Zenji took the matter up and said, "Tell me, at what point did the monk misspeak?" That's the key question. Mumon says in his poem to the last case of his Mumon Kan, "Before the tongue is moved, the teisho is finished." Yaksan appeared before his assembly at teisho and didn't say a word, just sat there and then left. Wonderful teisho. Some students say that the monk in today's case misspoke when he said, "The radiance serenely illuminates the whole universe." Everything was complete before he spoke. Now that is true, of course. It is also true of all 17,000 and something koans, all the volumes of the Tripitaka, not to mention this teisho. Lots of misspeaking. Some students say that the monk misspoke when he replied in the affirmative to Unmon's question. But if he had replied in the negative, would that have been correct? So this is the key question. For sure, you can understand simply using quotations can obscure the vivid fact itself. It doesn't help much to quote Wordsworth when exclaiming at a rainbow. It might tend to obscure the rainbow. Recently, one of our members wrote a paper clarifying how concepts and abstractions help us to deny the world and ourselves. Help us to run away from facts. Do you think this monk might have been really avoiding practice? Mumon's comment: "If you can see the uncompromising and rigorous operation of Unmon's method and how the monk misspoke, then you qualify as teacher of people and devas. If you can see what Unmon was up to and toward what he diverted the flow of the dialogue, then you are resolutely independent as a teacher of human beings and angels. You are not dependent upon words of others, but can use them as Joshu did, as all great teachers do." Intimately, personally. But if it is not yet clear, then you cannot save even yourself I don't know about even there. You cannot save even other people. Yes. When intimacy is gone, disaster descends. Moon's verse. A line is cast in the rapids. In the flow of the dialogue, Unmon casts a bit of bait. Aren't those the words of Chosetsu? The greedy will be caught. How about Unmon? Suppose there was a great Zen master lurking there in the deep pool when Unmon cast in his line. He would pull Unmon into the water. Thus, Unmon would turn out to be the greedy one, always seeking to save all beings. How would the great Zen master bring this about? How could you pull Unmon into the water? If your mouth opens just a bit, your life is completely lost. Now this echoes Mumon in his verse to case one. With a bit of has or has not, body is lost, life is lost. Not quite the same meaning, but an echo. In this poem, we see into the nature of the Dharma dialogue, and we see why it is called combat. Unmon casts in a line. How does the monk treat that line? Does he simply grasp it passively to swallow it down? If so, he is caught. You know, there's a case in the Shoyoroku of Ganto and the monk. There had been a revolution in China at about that time, and a man had set himself up as king, and he had a sword. And on the sword was inscribed, this sword is inscribed to whatever this revolutionary's name was, by heaven, or by a heavenly deity. So with this sword, he was going to lead the troops, Koso, that's his name in Japanese, Koso. With this sword, he was going to lead his troops and overthrow the emperor. But he was defeated and executed. This was a current story in China at the time. So a monk came to Ganto. Ganto said, where have you come from? The monk said, from the eastern capital, where all this had taken place. From the western capital, yeah. And Ganto said, did you get the sword of Koso? And the monk said, yes, I did. So Ganto lowered his head like this, stuck his neck out like this, and shouted, cut! So the monk said, the master's head has fallen. Ganto laughed and laughed. The monk went on to Seppo. Seppo asked him what had happened. And the monk told him, and Seppo gave him 30 blows and sent him away. how that dialogue went wrong from the beginning. See? Did you get the sword of Koso? Yes, I did. Really, really off from the beginning. Yes, we must stand on our own feet. Yeah, I got that sword, but I seem to have misplaced it. How's that one? Or, oh, I looked all around for that sword, but I couldn't find it anywhere. We should initiate this kind of dialogue in our sangha. Basui Zenji asked, who is the master of hearing that sound? The gecko calls. Chit, 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 chit. That is your bait. The radiance serenely illuminates the whole universe. Once a woman quoted this line to Hakuin Zenji. Hakuin said, how about the shit in the toilet? The woman said, Roshi, don't you know about that? Thus Hakuin got pulled in, and everyone had a good laugh. That woman opened her mouth, and Hakuin lost his life completely. Okay.